Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. I'm so thankful and grateful that you choose to spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And so as always, I hope you got your cup of Joe ready. I already slammed this one. It's just a prop this morning. All right. But more importantly, you have your Bible, because we're going to continue our study in the book of Matthew. Just a little shout out before we get going. I just want to thank Pastor Dottie Flanagan. She just preached the paint off the wall and preached a great message last week. So Pastor Dottie, thank you for your partnership in the gospel. And so I was away last week celebrating my 32nd wedding anniversary. And so we visited some friends who have a home down in Florida. And it was great. It was really refreshing to my soul being down in Florida. It had nothing to do with the weather. It had everything to do with the fact that the median age of the people in the city we were in was about 92. And so everywhere I went, I felt young, vibrant, and strong. I'm in the gym down there, and Opal and Ethel are like, my goodness, you're strong, Sonny. So it was good for my soul to be down there. But I'll say this is, an anniversary, it's a great time to reminisce and to remember. And so my wife, Susan, my wife of 32 years, you know, I was just thinking about our time, and I was brought back to the birth of our first child. And so the moment we became pregnant, actually she became pregnant, you know. I remember when we'd go to the doctor for the first time to get the ultrasound. And so, listen, as a guy with my firstborn child, I'm like, I know it's a boy. It's going to be a boy, because this is what we do. We give men here in the Burt family. And I'm just like, going to have this son. I'm picking out boy names and all this stuff. And so we go to the ultrasound and we see it. And this is old school ultrasound where it looks just like a blob and all this stuff. But I've got it all worked out, mapped out in my head. And we're watching the ultrasound. And I'm like, look, baby, look at that's. That's our little son. That's our boy. I see his little boy penis right there. Baby, that's where it is. And then the doctor stopped me and he's like, no, that's not a penis. And that little boy is a girl. Congratulations. You're going to have a daughter. Swing and a miss on that one. But after that, we would go and listen to the ultrasound. And I remember every time we would listen and we would hear our child's heartbeat. And it would just be going boom, boom, boom. It was beating so fast. And I remember just thinking in my mind and in my heart, I'm like, go, 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 beat, beat, beat. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is the very heartbeat of Almighty God that's alive inside of you. And so that's where we're going today. And so we're going to begin our trip in the book of Matthew, and we're going to embark on the Sermon on the Mount. It actually consists of three chapters. It's the longest recorded sermon of Jesus. It goes from chapter 5 all the way to chapter 7. And so if you've been traveling with us through the book of Matthew, you remember this, that Matthew is written predominantly to a Jewish culture. And so it's very Jewish in the things as it relays the life of Jesus. And so Matthew's going to do something. So if you're a Jew, there's one story that stands out in the Old Testament, head and shoulders above everything else. No, it's not David. It's not Daniel in the lion's den. It's Moses and the Exodus. See, through the story and the life of Moses, what we get people freed from 400 years of bondage and slavery. We get the Passover and the Passover lamb, that Moses would go up to the mountaintop and receive the law of God. And so Matthew is going to do something very interesting, that Matthew is going to parallel the Exodus story and the life of Moses to that of Jesus Christ, who is the greater Moses, the one come to set people free. And so follow me with this. Do you know that the book of Matthew, Jesus will have five large discourses? Do you know that in your Old Testament, Moses wrote five books of the Bible? In your Old Testament, the Pentateuch. How about this? Is that as an infant, Moses would have an attack on his life by Pharaoh. And Matthew records that Jesus, as an infant, would have an attack on his life by King Herod. Do you know that God would call both Jesus and Moses out of Egypt? That Moses, he would pass through a baptism in the Red Sea and spend 40 years in the wilderness. That Jesus would pass through his baptism in the Jordan and spend 40 days in the wilderness combating the devil. And so Moses is going to go up to the mountaintop, up Mount Sinai, where he's going to receive the law. And today we're going to read on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to go up on the mount and he's going to give people a new law, the life of God in the spirit, or if you will, Jesus is going to give the very heartbeat of God. And so if you're familiar with the book of Exodus and the story of Moses, you remember like Moses goes up to the mountaintop to get the commands, the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And do you remember what God's people are doing? Do you recall that? So Moses comes down. He can't get through reading the Ten Commandments. And it says this, you to have no other gods before me and to make no graven image. And what are the people doing? They're worshiping an idol god that they formed and made a graven image. Uh-oh. Like they are 0-2 right off the bat. And so if you know the rest of the story, in that day, because they had sinned worshiping this false idol, the Bible records that 3,000 people were slain that day. And here's the reality, is that the law, it brings death. The law is good and holy and right. The bad thing is we're not, and we can't keep it. And so we're worthy of death. But here's the good news of the gospel. Did you know that there's the law of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus? Do you know when God sends the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, you know how many people would come to Jesus that day? 3,000 souls were added. What? Why? Because the law brings death, but the law of the Spirit of life, it brings life. It brings the heartbeat of God. And so your whole Old Testament is just a story of people not keeping the law, not keeping the law, not keeping the law over and over. But I want to present something to you. What would have happened if they did keep the law perfectly? They were just disciplined. They white-knuckled through it. They were disciplined. But all the while, they hated the fact that they had to keep the law of God. Like they obeyed it, but they hated every second of it. Is that what God's looking for? Like your behavioral modification without a changed heart? You think that that's what Jesus is after, is just your begrudging submission? He's not. See, to obey the law, yet always in your heart want to break it, it's not freedom. And Jesus is the greater Moses. He's come to set us free. Like even though you keep the law, but in your heart you hate it, like get this, is an alcoholic who never has a drink of alcohol, but every day longs to have one. Is that person free? No, of course not. The husband that doesn't commit adultery, yet every day he fantasizes about other women and is addicted to porn. Is that guy free? No. And see, Jesus is the greater Moses, come to set us free from all this stuff. He's come to give us a new heart. And so I heard the story of another pastor. He's got a 4-year-old daughter. So funny, he's trying to train her, and so she needs to clean her room, and it's just like death to her. She's just, oh, I can't. And then she finally, in her little 4-year-old voice, is like, Daddy, I can't want to. And listen, I get that. I mean, have you ever had those moments when you know what you need, you're supposed to do to obey God, and yet there's a, I can't want to. See, that is the broken human condition. But here's the great news. What would happen if God could change your want to, your heart? Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm going to read verses 31 to 33. It says this, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Get this. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Just get that? Like God promised in the book of Jeremiah, I'm going to come. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to write my law upon your heart. I'm going to give you a new, I want to obey Almighty God. I'm going to give you the heartbeat of God. And so do you know that, see, here's where Moses and Jesus differ. That Jesus, he's going to go up to the mountain, another mountain called Gilgal. And it's there in that place, he's going to be crucified on a cross. And in the moment his heartbeat stops beating in his chest, suddenly now we have the opportunity to receive his heart beating in our very own chest. It is the heartbeat of God. And so I shared this story a number of months ago, bears repeating, but you might remember I told you about Conrad Ruland, and he played tight end for the New York Jets for a bit. And I remember I was doing a chapel for the Jets, and Conrad, he stayed afterwards. And I just remember being taken by, man, this is a young, good-looking guy, loves Jesus, and he just wanted to pray. And so we prayed, and he went on, and he actually wound up playing for another team later on in the year. He wound up in Indianapolis and finished his career with the Baltimore Ravens. But here's something tragic happened, that at the age of 29, Conrad Ruland, he had a brain aneurysm, and he died. But here's something you need to know. His death was tragic, but it wasn't in vain. I would find out later on, do you know that Conrad, his boyhood hero, was a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, Rod Carew. And he, at 11 years old, Conrad got to meet his idol, Rod Carew. And it said it was one of the highlights of his life. And how ironic is it, fast forward years later, Rod Carew would need a heart transplant. And suddenly, he would receive the heart of Conrad Ruland, and it would be placed inside the body of his boyhood idol, Rod Carew. And so now there's this fascinating video. You can watch Conrad's mom actually listening to the heartbeat of her son beating in the chest of Rod Carew. And do you know something happens when you and I, when you're born again, that there's something of the heart of God has become a part of you, that you receive the heart of God. In John chapter 20, we see Jesus resurrected from the dead, and he gathers his disciples together, and he does something odd. It says he breathed on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And it's in that moment his disciples are given a new heart, and suddenly now pumping inside of their spirit is the very heart of God. And so I was reading a book called, it's called Primal. It's written by a pastor by the name of Mark Batterson. And he actually tells the story of he went to a heart surgeon's convention. And there was all these heart transplant experts. And they talked about the moment when a new heart is installed into another human being. And they said, there's this moment. It's the moment of mystery as you wait for the heart to suddenly boom, 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 start to pump again. And I don't know if you realize this, but you know, the heart is a very unique organ in this. It's much like the brain in that it secretes brain-like hormones. It has, the heart has a memory on the cellular level. And here's what that means. You'll hear heart transplant recipients that suddenly, after receiving a new heart, they not only get a new heart, a new organ, but they finally have new appetites, new affections, new feelings. And so it is with the people of God, that when you're born again, you're given the very heartbeat of God. And you'll slowly begin to start to love what Jesus loves and hate what Jesus hates. You will have the heartbeat of God. Now we're ready. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. says this, seeing the crowds, he being Jesus, went up the mountain, right? Much like Moses went up the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, and now we're going to get into the Beatitudes. You can breathe easily. We're only going to get to two today. It says this in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So, Lord, I pray you give us grace as we gather around your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to unpack the Beatitudes. Like I said, there's eight of them. We're only going to get to two today. But the word beatitude, it's Latin. It means blessed or happy. Because you'll notice that each of the Beatitudes, it begins with blessed. I believe it's the word martyrios. It means happy. And so happy is the person who does these things. But if you've ever read the Beatitudes, they sound unbelievably wrong. Like the stuff you read in the Beatitudes, you go, that doesn't sound like it would be a very happy place. In fact, they can feel impossible unless you have a new heart beating in your chest. And here's what I want to begin to show us this morning, that in the Beatitudes, that Jesus, the greater Moses, he's come to set us free from some stuff. All right. And so let's take a look at these. Number one, we read that blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And if we were to be honest, come on, shoot us straight here. Many of us, we don't believe like we're poor in spirit. We're more like middle class in spirit. Like blessed are the middle class in spirit. Like I'm not great, Lord, but I'm not real bad either, right? And so that's where we like to fall. But the scripture is going to say something very different, that the blessed person is impoverished in their spirit. And so it's this idea. Listen, there is a profound freedom when you realize that outside of my relationship with Jesus Christ, I am utterly poor, depraved, lacking. Like I am nothing without Jesus. So I'm gonna let you in on a little something. I'm 52 right now, and it's funny. I used to kind of like lament the fact I'm getting older, but now I'm starting to like it a little bit. Because here's the reality, like you can get away with stuff when you're old. Like, do you know something? Like now when I go to the store, I wear my slippers to the store because people don't care. They look at you and go, oh, that dude's just old. Do you know this, that when you're old, you can be inappropriately late or early to stuff and they'll just chalk it up to your old. Like Ryan and Tiff, if you're watching this, like Ryan and Tiff were having a party at their house and my wife Susan and I got there 4 hours early. they weren't even set up or anything. It was the most awkward thing. And they're just chalking out, well, pastor's old. All right. I realize too that you can say inappropriate things when you're old and they just say, oh, you're old. But here's my point is this is, do you know, there just comes a point when you get older in life where you're just tired of pretending. And in the same way that those that are poor in spirit, they're tired of pretending and playing the game. See, happy, blessed are the poor in spirit. Here's the reason why. Because you've been set free from the bondage of hypocrisy. Like you just don't have to pretend anymore. Like pretending you're better and holier than you are is absolutely exhausting. Sociologists have a name for it. It's called the imposter syndrome, that they find that humanity have this low-grade fear of being found out as a fake or a fraud, a hypocrite. And so the Bible, listen, this shows up very early in the scriptures. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin against God, and what do? They hide from God, and they cover up from one another, and we've been doing it ever since then, ever since then. And I don't know about you, man, it's exhausting to try and pretend. And Jesus has come to set you free from that thing. And here's the reality. See, blessed are the poor in spirit, because here's what the cross is going to do for you and me. It's gonna out all of us as sinners. It just is. Like the cross, it declares that you and I are so sinful that it demanded the shed blood of the Son of God. But it also reveals this, then, that you're so loved that God was glad to do it for you and I. And so happy are the poor in spirit. Because you don't have to be in bondage to hypocrisy. Here's the second thing. Happy are the poor in spirit. Why? Because it frees us as well from the opposite extreme, from self-righteousness and pride. Like when you understand how holy God is and how not holy you are, it makes self-righteousness and pride utterly impossible. Like the closer you get to God, see, the further off you realize you are. So in the book of the Chronicles of Narnia, it's interesting. There's a scene when the great lion is a Christ-like figure, Aslan. And little Lucy goes to Aslan, and she hadn't seen for some time. And she says, Aslan, have you grown? And here's what Aslan said. He says, I've not grown. But he says, but as you grow, you'll find me bigger and bigger and bigger. And so it is with God. Like, the closer we get to God, the further off we realize we are. Like, I can remember when I first became a Christian, I just thought, if I could quit cussing so much and getting drunk on the weekends, I'm going to be the holiest guy on the planet. Like, it's going to be Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Adam after that. But then you start to deal with these certain things and clean them up out of your life. And what? God's going to show you three other things you need to do, and three other things, and three other things. Because the closer you get to God, you realize how far away you are from Him. And so Jesus is going to tell a great story in Luke chapter 18. He tells the story of a Pharisee, just think a holy guy, and a tax collector. Think of a sinner. And that they both go to the temple, and the Pharisee starts his prayer like this. Thank you, God, that I'm not like this fool. I tithe. I go to church. I read the Torah. I do all these things. And he begins to lift off all these accolades. But then the story looks over to the tax collector, who's got his head buried. He's violently sobbing. And he declares these words. Oh, God, please forgive me, a sinner. And Jesus declares this. One person left the sanctuary forgiven. And I tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't the holy guy, but it was the one that was poor in spirit, because blessed are the poor in spirit. See, the poor, once you find out, man, that you're poor in spirit, it begins to weave inside of you a humility. It gives you an empathy and a compassion for other people that it allows you to extend grace and mercies to others. And here's the great news. It stirs gratitude for the cross of Christ. And so blessed, happy are the poor in spirit. The last story for this this point is Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer. He used to have conversations with the devil. Is that weird? See, he said the devil would come for him to condemn him of his sins. And as Martin Luther would confess his sins to God, that the devil would begin to pile on. Luther, how can you say that you're a Christian when you do this and do this? But Luther had learned the power of the cross. And because he was a man poor in spirit, and he would begin to talk back to the devil. Oh, devil, it's way worse than you think. I've also done this and done this and done this. And see, and then what it says, it began to result in praise. I've done all this stuff, yet how powerful is the cross? How great is God's love for me that he would forgive me? And what was meant to destroy him, because he realized he was poor in spirit, it actually led to worship and joy, because blessed are the poor in spirit. Second beatitude is this: blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Once again, this does not sound like a thing that's going to make you happy, but let me comment on this. See, what he's saying is, blessed are those who lament and hate their own sin and the sin of the world. That person is blessed. I think if we were to be honest, all of us would have to agree that we love sin too much. And when you love something like that, it will absolutely enslave you. But what would happen? What would happen if we hated our sin? See, because when you get a new heart from Almighty God, then you start to learn to mourn sin, to hate it at the deepest level. And so let me tell you the story of 39-year-old Lauren Hurst. I believe we have an image of her. And Lauren She loves snakes. In fact, she had 140 snakes at her local residence. And so it was no surprise to the authorities when they arrived on the scene and they found her dead, lifeless body with an 8-foot python wrapped around her neck. So here's my point. Listen, sin is not a plaything. It's not your friend. Like, sin has come to steal, to kill, and destroy from you. And so you need to hate it. You need to hate and mourn sin. That's why blessed, happy are those that mourn. And so oftentimes I can find in my own life that I can become just comfortable in sin and oblivious to it. And so I'll share this story. I was back playing for the Atlanta Thrashers, and there's a teammate of mine I've been witnessing to, and I convinced him to come to a Christian conference with me. So we made the trek. We drove from Atlanta to Nashville, Tennessee, and there at this conference was a man. And I know the moment he sat with this dude, I was like, oh, this guy's getting born again. And sure enough, my teammate, he prayed the prayer of salvation and received Jesus into his heart. And I was just so overjoyed. And then we got back into my car and made the 4-hour trek back to Atlanta. And so my new born again friend, he's like, hey, Adam, can I watch some movies here in the back seat of your car while you drive? And so I said, yeah, sure. I'm like, you should watch The Usual Suspects. It's amazing. And so he fires in The Usual Suspects. And as he's watching this movie, suddenly, I don't know how this happened, but someone inserted about a billion curse words. Like, everything is F this, F this, F this, F this, F this, F this. And I'm like going, who put those words in there? Because they weren't in there before. In fact, it's an hour and 40 minute movie, and they use the F-bomb 98 times. And so, and listen, I was the guy who recommended and said what a great movie it was. See, I was blind. I'd become numb to the fact that this movie was pretty raunchy. And I wonder how many of us have been there when you've laughed at things all around us that God would declare as deplorable. And you're like, why do I find this funny? And so, see, what happens is you and I, we've been given a new heart. And so the heartbeat of God beats inside of you. And guess what? Sin breaks the heart of God. And so it must break our heart. And for the record, what you're consuming, you are becoming. And so we need to be aware of just the garbage that we're intaking, because what you consume, you will become. But that's great news, because what we can do is consume more of God. And as you consume more of His Word, you spend more time with His people. As you spend more time in worship, as you consume, feast upon God, guess what? Your heartbeat in God will get stronger and stronger. And as your heart grows, it becomes absolutely transformative for your life. You will become a lousy sinner. Like, as the heartbeat of God grows in your life, as you feast upon the Lord, suddenly you become a lousy sinner. You can't enjoy your sin. It's not as much fun anymore. It starts to lose its luster. And so I'll share this last story, is the story of St. Augustine. I've shared it several times before, but if you don't know, Augustine was an early church father, but before he became a Christian, he was a staunch atheist. He had this brilliant mind, and he would use it to make a mockery of Christians. And then, just in the irony of ironies, his mom became a Christian. Her name was Monica, and she just began to pray to the Lord every day for her son, Augustine, to know Jesus, until finally, one day, Augustine was walking through a schoolyard, and he heard some kids singing a nursery rhyme, take up and read, take up and read. And it was there Augustine was compelled to open up the scriptures. He took up and read the scriptures, and the scriptures converted his heart. He became, on the spot, a Christian, but he still had some other affections in his heart. See, the backstory was this, is Augustine was a sex addict. Everywhere he went, he had prostitutes and women waiting for him in every city he traveled to. And so he actually prayed this prayer after he was a Christian. He said, Lord, make me chaste, but just not right now. That's an honest prayer. And so he has this conflict in his heart. But here's what began to happen. As he began to feast on the presence and the power of Jesus, that his heart began to grow. He began to get a heartbeat of Almighty God dwelling within him, pumping within his spirit. And as he did, the chains of sexual addiction began to fall off him. And he shares this story that as he traveled to another city he used to frequent, one of the prostitutes he used to frequent, that she snuck up behind him and she says, "Augustine, it is I." And Augustine turned around, a different man, and he says, "Yes, but it's no longer I." See, Jesus had changed his heart. See, he was free. He was free because blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time we could spend gathered around your word today. Lord, my prayer is this. God, I'm praying for those that are spiritually exhausted. God, fighting and wrestling over sin. I pray now, Jesus, just as you did in John 20, and you breathed upon your disciples. Lord, I pray just for a fresh wind of God to blow upon your people. May there be a heavenly CPR today, and may spiritual hearts begin to pump again, begin to pump again, begin to pump again. Lord, I pray that by the power of God, you'd begin to transform our affections, Lord, that we would mourn over our sin. Lord, that there would be a lowliness to our heart as we understand that we are nothing without you, Jesus. We ask it all in your name. Amen. Amen. Listen, our prayer is over, but listen, you might need further ministry. If you would like to speak to a pastor, maybe perhaps for counsel, or you have questions about our church here at Every Nation, New Jersey, can I invite you to our virtual prayer ministry? It takes place at 11 a.m. The number should be, our virtual Zoom number should be coming up on your screen, and you can meet with a pastor at 11 a.m. Today. As well, can I just encourage you with this as well, that that you, if you're a member of Every Nation New Jersey, you know this, that we believe in the tithe. A tithe, it means a tenth. We believe that a tenth of everything that God gives to us, we give back to him. But listen, after 40 years of being a tither and a giver, here's what I know. You cannot outgive God, that God will care for you. He promises to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a great blessing. So there's three ways you can give virtually. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can go to something called PushPay. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. It's an unbelievably convenient, easy way to give. My family and I, we give that way. Or you can mail in your tithe or offering right here to our church at 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And finally, lastly, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, would you consider liking our Facebook page or subscribing to our YouTube channel? It's going to help us spread and get the word out, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll be partnering with us. Hey, God bless you. God loves you. And I think you're pretty amazing too. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.